You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday, July 29th. Joining me by phone now, the Reverend Dr. Wilfred Carsten from Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Moline, Illinois. Pastor Carsten is the winner of the Reformation Hymn Competition on LutheranReformation.org. Good morning, Pastor Carsten.
Good morning, Andy.
Glad to have you as my guest this morning. Tell me a little bit about your congregation, Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Moline, Illinois.
Well, the people of God there have had the privilege of having 47 vicars over the years. I think that's the one distinguishing mark of our congregation. We've had more vicars, a third-year seminarian, than any congregation in the LCMS. In fact, this is the week of vicar transition. Our vicar 46 is leaving. Our vicar 47 is coming. So we've had a vital part over the years in the formation of pastors, and it's been my privilege to serve as a vicarage supervisor.
What prompted you, Pastor, to enter a piece in the Lutheran Reformation Hymn Competition?
All through the years of my ministry, 30-some now, I've written hymns, usually as a part of the service on Sunday morning to amplify my sermon. So it's just something I've always done. And lately I've been involved in a few hymn competitions, so I decided to submit one for this one as well.
And where did you begin in writing this hymn? When you wrote the lyrics, when you wrote the words to this hymn, where did you begin?
Well, the starting point was the theme, the LCMS Reformation theme. It's still all about Jesus. So that made it easy. You know, most of the hymns I've written are based on texts. You know, the prodigal son, the Pharisee and the publican, things like that. But with this one was thematic, so to speak. So it's still all about Jesus. And I focused on the word still, how things, you know, half a millennium later are still the same. The situation still applies. We're sinners in need of a Savior.
Let's take a look at the first stanza. Though all our life is like a scroll unrolled with blemished pages, though sin has shredded what was whole and death is now our wages, yet here we stand in confidence with Jesus as our sole defense, for he alone still saves us. Tell me about this first stanza, Pastor.
Well, I should back up a little bit and say that before you write a hymn, you need to have a meter in mind, and mm-hmm. the meter is the way the words fit to the music. So, right from the start, I decided to use the meter 8-7-8-7-8-8-7 because that was a Reformation meter, so to speak. Two great hymns with that same meter are "Salvation Unto Us Has Come," and "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice." So I kind of had that in my mind. I should say, as you know, or maybe you'll say later, that the Reformation 500 committee, then after I was declared the winner, commissioned Dr. Blersch from Concordia, Nebraska, to write the hymn, tune. But I had that tune in my mind as I was doing this. And going specifically then to stanza one, you know, again, my idea was to compare the past and the present. And so I had the idea of a scroll. And I was thinking particularly of that scene from the Luther movie where he's so troubled about his life. And, you know, how can he be right with God when he's such a sinner? It seems in today's day and age, our life is out there for everybody to see. You know, you people focus their post their most intimate details on Facebook. Those used to be kept in a diary with a key, but now we put everything up on the internet. So the idea of a scroll really captured my attention as the link between old and new. You know, back in Bible times, they wrote on a scroll. Today, we hold a device in our hands and scroll down the screen, and our whole life is a record. And so all our life is like a scroll unrolled with blemished pages. The idea here is we're sinners in need of a Savior. Every hymn needs to be like a sermon, in a sense, a sermon in song. And every sermon should be law and gospel. Shows our sin, shows our Savior. So that's what the first part of this sought to do. Though sin has shredded what was whole, you know, we try and hide things by putting it through a shredder, but can't hide from God. And death is now our wages. So that's an allusion to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And then I got this little phrase in here that really is an homage to Luther in a little sense. Yet here we stand in confidence, just like Luther at Worms. Here I stand. I can do no other. Here we stand in confidence with Jesus as our sole defense, for he alone still saves us. And the thing about this meter, 8787887, is an odd number of lines, seven lines instead of six or four or eight. So the seventh line doesn't rhyme with anything else, which is good in a sense because you can make a strong closing statement then. So that's what I was doing there. With this Reformation hymn, it was easy to structure. Once you had the theme, it was easy to structure on grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Those are stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Stanza 1 is the Solus Christus stanza, Christ alone. And stanza 5, if we get time to go there, is the Soli Deo Gloria, the doxological stanza.
Let's take a look at the second stanza. Though pompously we try to dress in costumes of our making, though fig leaves of self-righteousness are futile and heartbreaking, yet filthy rags Christ gladly wore, so we would perish nevermore. His grace alone still clothes us. Tell me about this stanza, Pastor.
Okay, well, again, the closing statement, you know, sometimes, in a sense, I'm starting from the end. So he alone still clothes us. The idea here was grace as clothing, because that's the image that Scripture uses. Isaiah 61, we're robed in Christ's righteousness. Isaiah 64, all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. And then there's in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve's eyes were opened and they realized they were sinners, they were naked, and they tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. So that's where I got this image of fig leaves of self-righteousness. And again, that harkens to the Reformation. Luther realized that to use that system, try and save yourself by works righteousness, it just doesn't work. We need God's grace. We're clothed in him. We're covered with his righteousness. So that's where that came from. Though pompously we tried to dress. Mm-hmm. I like the word pompous. You know, in a hymn you want to look for words that aren't quite ordinary, but words that carry a deep meaning.
That carry a deep meaning and also create an image in our minds as well.
That's right, Andy. That's right, an image. So pompously, costumes, you know, we always, despite the fact that we put our life out there for so many people to see, we often wear a costume or we create a facade. We want to make people think of ourselves in a certain way when deep down we know who we really are. And certainly God knows.
Though earth's deep waters foam and roar as surging waves are rolling, though all the nations rage with war while bells of doom are tolling, yet God gives peaceful fortitude. He nurtures us with heaven's food. True faith alone still anchors. How about this stanza?
That's the faith alone stanza, and couldn't help but come back to Psalm 46. That's what Luther used for our mighty fortress. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. And then in verse 3 of Psalm 46 is where I took off here. though its waters roar and foam. And you'll see in my hymn, I changed the order of that, foam and roar, instead of roar and foam. But I needed roar to rhyme with war.
Sure.
So that's how you put it together. It's that's the fun thing about writing a hymn. It's to see how it all fits together. So, I came back to Luther on that one. So thanks, Martin, on that. Psalm 46. Surging waves are rolling. You can't help but think of the turmoil in the world today, the uncertainty, even with the threat of radical Islam, just like it was in the early 16th century for Luther and them. We wonder what's going to happen. It's easy to fret and worry, but God gives peaceful fortitude. We have a serenity, a tranquility, a strength as God's people because of faith in him. It's not any sort of faith, you know. We're in the midst of the political season now. We don't put our faith in princes. We put our faith in the Prince of Peace, the Lord and Savior of us all.
Though critics cut out Scripture's claims and treat them with derision, though they conduct their hostile aims with scalpels of suspicion, yet how the living two-edged sword proclaims the dead and risen Lord, God's word alone still truthful.
Scripture alone. So the passage that popped out to me immediately there is Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active like a two-edged sword. So I'm old enough to live through the tail end of the battle for the Bible. And even today, the critics are still around who think they know better than God, who get out their little scalpels and with surgical precision say, well, this doesn't apply. This wasn't really part of the Bible, things like that. So that's the image that went through my mind. And I really thought in my mind, again, you talked about the visual images, so that was in my head as I wrote this. The contrast between a little scalpel, it can cut deep and do serious injury, but if you're in a battle, you'd rather have a sword in your hands than a little scalpel. So the Word of God can stand on its own. It can prove itself true, and it does. So how the living two-edged sword proclaims the dead and risen Lord. God's word alone still truthful.
Yeah, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains.
That's right, exactly.
Now sing a high doxology to God who gives salvation, both here and in eternity. Let this be our vocation. To Father, Son, and Spirit raise a symphony of grateful praise, for he alone is worthy.
Yeah, and if you see the text of that hymn printed out before you, there's a little triangle there, and we've all learned with our new hymnal, that great hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, that means it's a Trinitarian doxological stanza. And so, Soli Deo Gloria, yesterday was Bach's death day, and that's what he signed pieces with. Now more than ever, I think our hymns need a strong closing statement that this is the one true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's what this hymn was about. For all God has done for us, we need to sing a high doxology and a symphony of grateful praise. That word symphony, I was thinking of melody first. That would work. Three syllables, it fits. The rhyme scheme and the accent, but for some reason, symphony got in there. I guess my daughters are violin players in symphonies. But in terms of church and our LCMS theme of life together, a symphony is a togetherness of sound. And we Christians, especially us in the LCMS celebrating the Reformation, we make a grateful, joyful sound together, a symphony of grateful praise to God who has done such great things.
Well, what a lovely hymn. Congratulations, Dr. Karsten, on winning this competition. I'd like to play a little bit. I'll play the first stanza as we wrap up here this morning. I'll play a little bit of that on our way out. from our conversation. Thanks for being my guest, and congratulations to our listeners. You can find the hymn on LutheranReformation.org. You can hear a sample of it. You can also, you can even download the hymn. You can download the text there, read the text. Dr. Carson, thanks for being our guest here on His Time this morning.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's been a privilege.
God bless you and your ministry there at Holy Cross.
Thank you.